The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Turn to John chapter 10. With all the things going on, it's good to get in the chapter to talk about the Good Shepherd. Amen. Yes, amen. John chapter 10. Father, we just want to thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. You know my prayers that you move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. But Father, we all need to hear from you today. We need to understand that we think we have problems. Just be God and come down here with a bunch of ungodly people and see what happens. We thank you for giving us just a small glimpse of the misunderstanding that he went through. And that, Lord, it is time for those of us who call ourselves believers to stop the misunderstandings and to give you the responsibilities of taking care of us, give you the responsibilities of being able to be trusted, and give you the opportunity to work through us, that others may see that you are still alive and well. We thank you for that, for such a privilege. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say. Okay, John chapter, we're going to begin with chapter 10 today, verse 14. That's where I will break it down. I would not break it down where 10 started it with verse 1. I think chapter 10 wouldn't start in my Bible until verse 14. And since they didn't ask me to write it yet, I just had to disagree with those who have written it. We talked about the abundant life, John 10:10. We spent lots of time on that. And many, many, many Christians, many of us, concentrate on the abundant. That is not the emphasis. We are to concentrate on the life in verse 10. I have come that you may have life and may have that life more abundantly. And we talked about what that abundant life was. And it is an awesome abundant life when we go to Galatians chapter 5. We looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And that we are all to live that abundant life by being controlled by the Spirit of God, that you may show that one characteristic. It's only one fruit of the Spirit with eight characteristics. Okay? One. And you can't have one without the other. And so it is our responsibility to stay under control of the Holy Spirit, that we may see that abundant life, that we may live that abundant life, and that society, especially those that do not know Christ, can see the difference in the life that you are living abundantly. So are we all together on that? And we end chapter 9 with verse 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep, I've got these bad glasses on, excuse me. I get to pick up my new ones tomorrow. Can I get an amen? Amen. Man. Whose own sheep are not, don't belong to the hireling. But when the hireling whose sheep doesn't belong to him sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep.
Yes, sir.
He flees.
Yes, he does.
And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Now, you got to understand who Jesus is calling, the wolf. Okay? They want to know who the shepherd is. They want to know what the shepherd's like. Back up in verse 42, 41 and 42 of chapter 9. They want to know, who are you? Who you be? And Jesus says, oh, I'm the shepherd. Let me tell you about who I am. And that's where we get into chapter 10. And they don't like that. And Jesus is calling the Pharisees and Sadducees the wolves. They are the hirelings. And it would be a shame for us to have to go around the United States today and check out different church services and see how many hirelings we can find that calls themselves reverend, pastor, doctor. A lot of hirelings. We got pastors that are not even Christians. And I'm going to be, no, I won't be, because I'm going to be in the air.
There you go. Come on.
But there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be surprised when rapture comes and a great deal of the pulpits are still going to be full. Can I have an amen, somebody? Come on, let's just come on and have church service. You guys remember what happened in the little town of Texas, Wade Cross, Texas? Y'all remember that, right? The church people got together. They had this bar in town. And the people got together and said, we're tired and sick of this bar and all the things that's going on and the just the decadence that's happening in this place. So all the churches got together and said, why we got 5 different little churches on this side of town and 10 little churches on that side of town? Why not get together, buy this place out, kick the bar out, and have one big church? And inside the bar was a parrot. They'd been there for years. Kicked the bartender out and kicked the people out. They bought the place, fixed it up for church, and the parrot was still in the back. They opened up for the first church service, and the parrot says, ah! New bartender? When the pastor got up to preach. Ah! New waitresses? When the ushers came in to pass out the bulletin. Same old crowd. There's got to be a difference in us.
Yes, sir.
To live the life that others will have to say, there is something different about that person who is a Christian. Somebody say amen for that. And the hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I like this. Al Valette has a real saying. And continue to pray for Al's mother. If you haven't heard, she's having a very difficult time. Pray for Al, Danielle. He's running back and forth to Tacoma, dealing with the doctors. That's all I would say right now. She's having a tough time, but doing good. They're doing good. God's good for it. Sam, I hate to tell you, you shouldn't have joined staff. But Al has a saying. He says, haters hate. Don't be surprised when a hater hate. That's what haters do. Can have an amen.
Amen.
Don't be surprised when a hireling runs. That's because he's a hireling. That's what they do. They run. They run from spiritual controversy. They run to compromise. Don't be surprised. That's what hirelings do. And that leads us to verse 14. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by those that are mine. Right here in verse 14, check it out. You gotta check the transition. Because right now he's talking about his sheep, that's Israel. Now, Jesus Christ basically is the only person that was ever killed because of who he said he was, not because of what he did. They had nothing on him about what he did. He proved it by what he did, who he was. But because of the hirelings, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the sheep of Israel that did not want to accept their shepherd, he was killed because of who he said he was. Wow, how would you like to be killed because of who you say you were? Instead of what you do. Yeah, there's a lot of people don't like me, but they want to get rid of me because of what I do. Not because of who I say I am. I am the good shepherd. Can you hear Jesus? Can you hear him pleading with the Israel sheep? But you don't know me. Can you feel the stress of a God who came down to give his life for the sheep and is being rejected because of it? And as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring in, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Anybody see the transition? In verse 14, he's talking about the sheep of Israel that's going to believe in it. Then he says, I have sheep of another fold. Anybody know who that other fold is? Gentiles. And he says, I'm going to bring them all together, and we're going to have one fold, and it's going to be one shepherd. I want to ask you a question. Do you think the hirelings understood what he just said? Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. He done messed up everything about what they're doing now. Might as well go ahead and get some Gentiles. Can I have an amen? Because Jesus has done a lot of things for Gentiles. He went after the Jews, went after the Jews, went after the Jews, and went after the Jews. And when they rejected, he says, bring in the other sheep. That's too much for them. Oh, that is too much. That would be like the head of the Ku Klux Klan daughter walking in with a black man. Can you put that in perspective? Brothers, just a little bit. Because a big thing, yeah, it's going to spoil a good dinner. I don't care what they cook. You know the worst part about that dinner is what he got to say to all his friends. Most of us are not embarrassed half as bad as parents when our kids do something as we are if other parents find out about it. Because we look at it as being a reflection on the kids, or do we as parents look at it as being a reflection on us? Why does mothers get so uptight when they're out of town and the dads dress the kids? And, you know, it's bad because the moms will not leave town without setting clothes out. And dad gets up and just go, well, yeah, you want that? Oh, that's good. Somebody give the pastor an amen because you know it's true. Pat was away one. Pat was away from one of the ladies' retreats when the kids was younger. And it was, you know, a dad's goal is to have the same amount of kids when the wife comes back that they had when she left. Now, it doesn't matter how they look, just as long as you have the same amount of kids. Can I have a man? Amen. So we got her for breakfast and was going to go to breakfast. And we was all in the car, and the boys don't have two sisters. They have two more mothers. And Avery is number one behind Pat. And she's trying to get Curtis's hair right and everything in the car. And Curtis, of course, is young, and he didn't like it. And she goes, "Be still. Look at you. Look at your hair. Look at your eyebrows even. You look like the devil." And Curtis, without blinking an eye, and I don't know where it came from, goes, "Oh, yeah, you look like a Democrat." I almost drove off the road, man. I was laughing so hard. So you can imagine what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Ku Klux Klan, head of the Ku Klux Klan, would go, man, when things aren't going right. But bam, he gonna bring in the Gentiles? Oh, kill him. I just want to give you a little perspective, because we don't make the Bible real. You just gotta live around the Hutchinsons for a while. They keep telling us we ought to have a reality TV show. That would be rich, wouldn't it? Therefore does my Father, verse 17, love me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Ooh-wee! No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it. This commandment have I received of my Father. I give my life because I want to, not because I have to. How many of us give our lives and our service to Christ because we love to, not because we think we have to reach some kind of quota, some kind of Christian quota? I got to get up and go to church today because that's what you do. Oh, man, I got to get up and go to church today because I got another opportunity to get a little closer to God. To hear something that I may not have ever heard before. I know many of us Christians think, man, that, you know, if we've been Christians 5, 10, 15 years, we think we know it. You know what preaching is? Simply telling Christians the truth that they already know but haven't done anything about yet. That's what preaching is. Just encourage you to get on that obedient stick of love. I love myself some Jesus. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. Me and Jesus can get down, man. I have to wait till I'm really, really, really tired. Can't hardly keep my eyes open. That's when I open the Bible. Everybody's asleep. Everything's quiet. Can't hardly think straight. It's hard to put your own ideas when you're that tired. If I study in the morning, I don't get nothing out of it. God don't get anything out of it. It's just not my best time. And you got to find out when your best time is. And that's when you give God that time. uptight about Jesus. The world's uptight about Jesus. Nobody wants to do what Jesus wanted. Jesus comes in and he changes lives. He changes societies. And if he can't change society, he changed lives so much that society can't rest. We are an irritant. We're supposed to be an irritant to unrighteousness. We've lost that in the church today. We want to be friends. I lay my life down. Nobody takes it from me. Somebody say amen. Amen. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews. First big division was in chapter 8, remember? When Jesus came in at the Passover, messed them up. Oh, no, it was the tabernacle, Feast of the Tabernacle. Everyone waiting on him. He snuck in town. What did they go back to? The Old Faithful, verse 20. Many of them said, he has a demon. He is mad. That was chapter 8, verse 48. That's when they first started that. Why do you even want to listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Back to chapter 9. Bam, 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 ski. Whoa! Can I get an amen? Jesus is talking about the works that he has done. You can't get around my works. Check them out. Goes back to John chapter 5 when he said, one of my witnesses is my works. My works, my works, my works, my works, my works. You know what would be sad? I know some of you guys have heard this. But you know what would be really sad? Let me tell you what would be really sad. And it's coming. That if the world learns to just hate Christians and you are thrown in jail and taken to trial, 80% of the Christians wouldn't have enough evidence to be convicted that they are Christians. Henry's! Where are you? Let me hear one of them amen. Amen. Yeah, uh-huh. Miss you, girl. I don't know. But I've been told Jesus is the answer. Amen. And until I get a better answer, I'm going to stick with he who gave up his life. Because he chose to. Well, he has a demon. We don't have to listen to him. Look at verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Think they're happy with him? Christians, do you think they're happy with Jesus? Verse 39. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. Well, verse 22 tells us some information. And it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Well, if it's being winter, they probably went in to kind of get out of the weather, get protected a little bit from the weather, not too much protection if you ever seen Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus says, what? Are you kidding me? I've been here for 3 years. He's only got about, what, 4 months at the most before he's crucified? You don't understand me yet? How many of us in here? I know it's not many, but that's some. It's in here, and you just refuse to give it all to Christ because you just don't know. I've seen how Christians live. I've seen how Christians trust Christ. I've seen how much they suffered. I don't know if I want that. Come on, talk to me. I've seen that there's non-believers that get along a lot better than Christians. They don't have to deal with all the junk, man, all the sickness, and is God going to come through? Is he not going to come through? Man, I don't know if I want that kind of life. Let me give you a little secret. Work for Jesus. The retirement plan can't be beat. Because this ain't nothing but temporary. Amen. Judgment is eternal. Can you imagine? I'm going to give you just a little bitty. Can I give you just a little example of what it means to be eternal judgment? You ever heard of the fire? You heard of the fire? You're going to be on fire. Now, I want to tell you something. That's not a literal term. You want me to explain just one little bit of what that means? How many of you have ever been thirsty? Now, I'm not talking about I'm going to decide I don't want water or Kool-Aid with lemonade with some lemon in it. I don't want that. I don't want that kind of pop. I'm not talking about that kind of thirsty where you turn down any liquid. Can I have an amen? I'm talking about thirsty. Thirsty. And anything wet will do. You been there? Let me tell you a little bit about what judgment is. Judgment is like being thirsty. And your thirst grows every day. And it grows every day. And it grows more every day. And it intensifies 100-fold every day without the possibility of ever getting it quenched or ever dying to get away from it. That's on fire. And you're going to do it by yourself. Because I don't know about anyone else, but it's kind of hard to party with your friends when there's nothing to drink. Can we say amen? One of these days I'm going to do a sermon just on hell. And none of you going to leave here not wanting even your enemies not to go. Well, we have brewed it up, teed it up, set it up. Think we got one more Sunday in John 10? Or should I just skip everything and just go to the points and let's just call it a chapter? Can't wait for Jesus to get into some serious stuff with them. And they're going to hate. They're going to hireling. They're going to want to kill Jesus, and he's just going to say, not my time yet. I lay my life down when I choose. And right now, I believe, I could be wrong, but if you look at the timing of verse 22 and 23, celebration of the tabernacles, I wonder what date it is. In our calendar, it'll probably be December 25th. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Let those who have heard the word be convicted by it or comforted. But never let us be the same, Father. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.